Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
I love calling each one of my guests brilliant leaders because if they're running their own company, they're brilliant in my book. It ain't easy. It takes a village, and that means they've lived some life, they've learned some things, and they're going for it. I love that. Well, my first guest today is Jessica Burlingame. She's the founder and principal of Agon Advisors, and she's joining us right now. Welcome to the show, Jessica.
Thanks, Alan. I'm thrilled to be here.
Tell the world about this ancient Greek word, agon. What does it mean?
Agon. All right. Agon is a word I first came to as the name of a beautiful ballet done by the New York City Ballet, choreographed by George Balanchine. And when I looked it up, I found that it was a word that used to mean in ancient Greek gathering, and over time came to mean competition. Mm. And the games in ancient Greece that were about just pure excellence for the love of the game were the agon. That got transferred to Rome, where they had the Ludus Agones in a stadium that was built in the Greek style in the center of Rome for that. And many years later, when I was giving walking tours in Rome, shortly after I graduated from college, we would end every tour on the site of Piazza Navona in central Rome now. And that's on the site of where the agon was played in Rome many, many years ago. Mm. So I thought, let's bring that spirit of play, of excellence, of gathering, and the highest of competition into our working lives together, and let's do some great things.
I love it. Now, you were trained as a theater director, educator, and performer mm-hmm. with Shakespeare and Company. And as I don't mm-hmm. read everything else on here, there's a lot going on in the arts. But yeah. yet, you're a mm-hmm. trainer, and you have an agency, Advisors. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, how did you pivot from theater? Obviously, you loved it. To what you're doing today, because entrepreneurs are like, they have inquiring minds. They want to know, why would you leave that thing that you loved for something else that you obviously love too? More enough so to mm-hmm. drive you into this business you're in.
Well, you know, I think if we're going to be candid, I chickened out of going all the way as an actor. It was very
Don't
close
be honest.
To my heart. But I didn't, you know, I didn't have a family saying, go for it, kiddo. And I was not the kind of kiddo who was going to say to my family, you know, I'm going to do it anyway.
Right.
So I went to college. I went to business school. I did some coaching work. I was a management consultant, worked in publishing. And I had all kinds of different experiences in teams and in groups. And I saw some extremely functional teams that I was a member of or that I was a consultant to. And I saw some less functional ones, again, that I was a member of or a consultant to. And then when I got laid off from my last real day job during the Great Recession at the end of 2008, I moved to the country. I started doing private coaching with MBA candidates. And almost magically, I got back into the theater again. And then I got involved with a wonderful director at Shakespeare and Company in Lenox, Massachusetts, Kevin Coleman, whom I'm honored to call my director, teacher, colleague, mentor, friend. And I found in his theater teams, casts, crews, audiences working together to outperform every time, every time. And I thought, let's bring this into my business life too.
I love that. You are blending Thanks. The two worlds, and you have a very sweet right. nature about you. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit more. I'm on your website right now, which by the way is agonadvisors.com, agonadvisors.com. When we come back, we're going to talk about vitality, acuity, agility, and humanity with our guest, Jessica Burlingame. Agon Advisors. We'll be right back. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. Under the carnival tent, I laughed and she'd smile. It would last for a while. You don't know what you got.
Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today. To Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Our guest, Jessica Burlingame, founder and principal, Agon Advisors. She trains for a lot of things, vitality, acuity, agility, humanity. Let's start with training on these values you talk about. Vitality, Jessica.
Sure, Alan. I think a lot of people get in themselves a little bit to go to work. We fit ourselves into little boxes, into sort of predefined roles, and we think we can't be ourselves at work, make ourselves smaller. And that doesn't work. We need to have that life force. Some traditions call it prana or chi, but you got to have your heart in it. And so a lot of what we do at Agon Advisors begins very gently, but physically, in motion, walking around a room. These days it's more a Zoom room, and understanding and really feeling what's going on with your body in a professional setting and paying attention to that. Your breath, where's your pulse, kind of getting that body alive. Don't be sitting in a chair all day. Don't be standing at your standing desk all day if that's your preferred stance, but really beginning to wake up that energy that you probably had when you were a kid, that you probably have with your own kids or your dog. Bring some of that good stuff to work, your vitality. Wake that up first.
You know what? I'll stop you right there for a second. I wonder how many people actually even give a thought at all to any of what you just talked about, kind of the psychology of beginning your day. I think an entrepreneur, they are so driven that their job is never done. They fall in bed so exhausted. They wake up the next morning knowing what they have to do. I've got to go to work. And, you know, and they've got their lists and things that they work off of. But this is thoughtful entrepreneur, what you're talking about.
I hope so. Thoughtful and self-energizing, too. Self-replenishing, in a way. You know, you wake up in the morning, you know you've got to go to work. How do you have to go to work? What are you going to do at work? And how are you going to fuel that? And I think you feel that through your vitality, through waking up, your senses and your physical energy, this wonderful machine that you've been given, your body to navigate your adventure in life.
All right, let's shift to acuity. We got about 2 minutes left, and then we're going to hit agility and humanity. Mm-hmm. These are all important things, though, I think, to be a thoughtful entrepreneur, to at least have these. You know, that's why they're your core values of your company. But go ahead.
Yeah. So I think once you've awakened the vitality, once you've got the fire burning, let's focus it. Let's make it precise. What parts of your energy are you going to use? How are you going to direct them? In what forms and to what ends? Maybe if you're an entrepreneur, today's a product development day, or today's a fundraising day. Each one of those days, or it's a people management day, you've got to use your vitality in different ways. Direct it. Be really precise. Where in your business is your life force needed at that time? How do you focus it? How do you channel it? And how do you really empower others around you with your vitality in their own in a precise manner?
Well, I'll tell you what I've noticed here lately is that I said something in the beginning of this segment here about how we, you know, we fall into bed exhausted and then we jump out of bed, just go back to work and, you know, try and finish. But entrepreneurs are never finished. And even though we've got our list, you know, even when we're done with that list, somebody else is going to hand us a new list. And recently in my own personal life, I've allowed myself to not have to finish. In other words, I'm halfway done. I can either work till 9 o'clock at night, or I can actually say, you know what? I'm going to go home. Give myself permission to stop, to pause, to just, you know, take care of myself first. You know, when the oxygen masks come out of the airplane, when you're going down, you got to take care of yourself first. Then you can take care of the person next to you. But if you never take care of yourself, then you don't have the energy to take care of really anybody. So I've been giving myself permission to not finish, which is a strange thing for me. I'm 60 years old. I've never done that in my whole life. It's like, go, 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 go. And I will never finish because that is, I think that's the energy that's in the universe for me is I'm just going to keep on going until the day I die. But you know, that isn't living. Mm-hmm. That's dying. So let's take another break and we'll come back and talk about agility and humanity. We got to be able to live along the path of life as well and enjoy life and smell the roses. Smell the coffee.
Absolutely.
I love coffee, by the way. We'll take a little break. Jessica Burlingame joining us, Agon Advisors, A-G-O-N, advisors.com. These are the values of Agon Advisors. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
And our guest, Jessica Burlingame, founder and principal of Agon Advisors, A-G-O-N, Agon Advisors. We're talking about how she trains in vitality, acuity, agility, and humanity, which brings us to agility, Jessica.
Yeah. So, Alan, if we've already talked about vitality, which is waking up, essentially, and acuity, which is getting precise, and agility is about getting versatile, which I think every entrepreneur needs, right? You are the CEO, you are the facilities manager, you are HR, you are innovation, you're everything. And so how do you become agile? How do you react? How do you pivot in the moment from function to function, priority to priority, even and especially when it all goes pear-shaped, when it all goes wrong, when a pandemic pops up and right. Suddenly you don't have a business. And so when we think about agility with Agon Advisors, we borrow heavily from some of the most agile workers out there who are theater actors and live performers. The show must go on. They right. are agile physically, but you know, if your fellow performer misses a cue, you got to keep going. If your fellow performer in the last battle scene left a sword on the stage, which is there as you enter for your love scene, you know, you got to be quick on your feet. You got to be agile. You got to make it work. And so some of the games that we use to keep ourselves agile and in the moment, and I think really crucially, Alan, relating to each other very deeply and attuned and intuitive way, whatever kind of work we're doing, whether you and I are putting on a play, whether we're putting together a show, or whether we're building a company, those are the kinds of practices that we use to cultivate and agility, which is so key for every entrepreneur.
And it's so funny because the word that comes to my mind is being fluid. In other words, keeping the flow going, right? Because otherwise
people see the water, right, exactly.
And otherwise people see the fear in your eyes, and you just have to remain calm and keep going, in essence.
Yep.
Which probably leads us to humanity.
I think it probably does. And, you know, I think once that's really the culmination of all the other values, when you're vital, when you're awake and energized, when you're acute and precise and focused, when you're agile and fluid and responsive and available, then I think you probably have at your disposal and ready for use your full energy and capacities as a human being in your workplace, although I suspect this applies in your professional life too, or in your personal life. You want all these qualities available to be your best self and your full self and better than your best self, actually. Those moments when you surprise yourself and you come up with something that was better than you knew you had, that was better than you knew you were targeting. And I think that's the imperative that we're all operating under now more than ever. None of us was expecting the global situation. None of us is expecting the pandemic and changes and loss and the suffering and the fear and the volatility and the uncertainty. And so we need each other. We need ourselves. We need to be focused. We need to be alive. We need to be resourceful. We need to be energetic. We need to be collaborative, which is another really key part of what we try to train for at Agon, is collaborations that are so much more than the sum of their parts among people. You know, just outperformance on every metric, based on, you know, whatever budget you have, based on whatever people you have, based on whatever opportunities you think you have. And yeah, the world needs our humanity. We can't be robots at work anymore. Yeah. And maybe we never could. And maybe holding that as an ideal is part of what's gotten us into some of the trouble as human creatures that we're facing in these times.
Well, you have to be willing, you said before, to take center stage and be willing to take on the big bad wolf, because I know you played Little Red Riding Hood when you were a little girl.
I sure did.
And you know what else is, we do need nurturing from people that we love and people that love us. And and we know we also need to learn how to believe in ourselves. And I'll tell you a cute little story. Mm-hmm. We have a restaurant in this plaza that I live in. Isn't that funny? I work in, because I'm here a lot.
Yeah.
And there's an executive chef that has a restaurant. His mother works for him. And I said, you need to teach her how to do this and make that. And he looks at me, and she's standing right there. And he says, she already knows how. She just doesn't know it yet. And I thought, that is brilliant. Because inside of us, it exists. We just have to learn how to tap into it. And then when we find it, we feel free and we feel powerful and we feel good about ourselves and we thrive. Jessica, thank you. Our Agon Advisors, A-G-O-N, advisors.com on the web. Training in vitality, acuity, agility, and humanity. Beautiful. Good stuff. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan, and to all your listeners. Thank you so much.
We'll be right back.
There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. To Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
All right. I think it's probably time to talk about leadership skills. And, you know, I mean, after, I guess we talk about the 800-pound gorilla, which is the debate. And, wow. All right. We won't talk about that. But, it's like, it's hard not to, but I'm trying not to be political in any way on this show. Our next guest, her name is Jennifer Macken. She is the author of a book, Leaders Deserve Better, A Leadership Development Revolution. And maybe we could talk about leadership skills, because what we saw in that debate made everybody kind of scratch their head and go, as Tim Allen would say. Can you, Jennifer, welcome to the show. Can you talk about, first of all, why did you write this book? Give us the genesis of where did this book come from?
Yeah, thank you for having me. I love talking about leadership in any way, so we can get back to that debate. But the genesis of the book really was a culmination of my 25 years in consulting with hundreds of companies, all industries, all sizes across the United States, mostly, some global, but I got to see how they were preparing their leaders for what was coming next. We got involved from the strategy of the business through their development and what went well and really what didn't go well. And some of which we were doing 25 years ago, some of the things that are not really best practices anymore. So the ahas of those years led to a very different solution to a very challenging and complex problem of preparing leaders for what's next. And the crisis and the political situation, you know, we're going to have one crisis after another, it feels like, and leaders are just not ready to take that in and lead their teams through it.
In your book, you talk about 50% of CEOs are replaced with CEOs from outside the organization. Is that new?
That's right.
Talk about that.
Well, it has been increasing for many years. It was in the 20% back in the 80s, and now it's happening out of necessity. So I believe the reason that we're replacing CEOs with other CEOs or those who want to be CEOs is because we're not developing our people internally to be able to take that role. But I see succession as all key roles. And so without a plan, which many don't have, and then without development plan for each of those individuals that might be able to take on a role like that in the future, it just doesn't happen. And that has gotten pushed aside in a lot of cases. So I think it's about leader readiness. And there are a lot of CEOs that jump around. And that's just out of necessity.
You know, it's interesting because as you're saying these words, I'm feeling that you're talking about me and my situation, which you don't even know about. My dad ran an organization for 63 years. He's now 92 years old. And there was no succession plan. One day he came to me at 90 years old and said, "I want you to help me. I'm getting old. I need you to run the company." And I'm like, okay.
Okay.
And it was like, you know,
what does that mean?
And it's a nonprofit organization. I know nothing about nonprofit. It's like there was no succession plan. And it's like, so I find myself fumbling and mumbling and bumbling along, trying to make excuses for why, you know, I'm the chairman of the board and CEO. I don't know what to do here. You know, it's like, it shouldn't be that way. It's like, what happened?
Was he first generation?
Well, his dad died in his arms when he was 14. So he grew up without a dad during World War II. And he happened to live in London and the bombs were dropping all around him. And then he comes to America when he's like 20 with $100 in his pocket. And so he had no formal education, and yet he's got honorary doctorates now. You know what I mean? It's like he's a brilliant guy. He's written like 25 books. And then one day he goes, here, take the keys. You drive the battleship now. And it's like, oh my gosh.
He was just done. I think a lot of times they don't want to think that they are going to sometime be out of the business.
Right?
And then when they feel the need to get out of the business for lots of reasons, they look around and say, oh, I don't have anyone here. And of course, I would want this to pass along to my children, who I believe in and I trust. And they often pick the wrong child. I'm not saying you were the wrong child.
No, I wasn't the first. I was the second. The first one really blew it, by the way. But this is why this is so important. It happens in business all the time. And a lot of times people are in business and you know, the founder of the business, his kids have become successful on their own. They have their own business. They can't. Well, I was successful, but my dad's organization needed to continue on, right? So I'm like, well, now I'm an entrepreneur. I'm strong. I got strong shoulders. I'll just carry the weight. But I'm listening and I'm going, she's right. You're right. Gosh.
When we work with organizations that are even thinking about bringing in family members or thinking about, okay, I'm 5 years away, which is ideal timing, at least 5 years. And you say, all right, not only when your father leaves, what is going to be the hole that he leaves and needs to be replaced by what type of leader, but where's the organization going to go next? And do you even need the same type of leader? And then we can pick the person, or you pick the person and do all that other work of where are we headed and what do they need? What do we need to replace when he leaves? And then decide how the business can move forward.
Wow.
So otherwise it doesn't work. And so those transitions often fail, and it doesn't have to. Well, it doesn't have to. It takes some forethought and a lot of work, of course, but it doesn't have to be that way.
You know, what's funny is we don't plan to fail. we fail to plan. And that's what my dad did. God bless him. I mean, he says, I'm going to live to be 100. He's 92 and a half right now, and he probably will be 100. Problem is, I'll have been running his company blindfolded, but I'm 2 years into it now, almost actually going on 3 years, and I'm finally starting to figure it out. And this happens all the time. I have a couple of friends that it's happened to. All right, well, so we're going to talk a little bit more with Jennifer Mackin about leadership and leadership skills and how to develop them differently. You got to plan, people. You got to plan. We'll be right back. Well, you're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Don't forget, check out our website, entrepreneur.com. You can find a whole bunch more of these shows right there, Entrepreneur Weekly, and a whole bunch of more other stuff that you may like in the entrepreneurial world. Of course, there's videos and lots of articles and many more different podcasts from our editor-in-chief right on down the line to guys like me. I'm an entrepreneur and proud of it. This song is Steve Winwood, Higher Love, one of my favorites. Our guest right now is Jennifer Mackin, M-A-C-K-I-N. I almost got that wrong. JenniferMackin.com on the web. And her book is Leaders Deserve Better, A Leadership Development Revolution. All right, Jennifer, how do we develop leaders differently, in your opinion, then?
That's a big question, and I think there's a lot we need to do, but I would say let's stop doing something, and that is focusing exclusively on the competencies of a good leader. We always say we've got to work on their coaching skills and their communication skills, which is important. My book is about how companies, leadership teams in particular, can be accountable to the environment of the organization that allows the learning that leaders absorb to be put in play and used and practiced. And so included in that is four key things that I think are critical. One, if the strategic plan or strategies that they have moving forward aren't connected to the people plan, then your leadership development won't work. If your leaders aren't involved in the development of other leaders and drive that through and hold their people, their team members accountable, compensate for that, it's not going to stick. And if they also don't reinforce and practice the learning and have them learn from each other when they get back into their work environment, it won't work. And lastly, I believe in, kind of controversial right now, is face-to-face learning for leaders. Not all learning has to be face-to-face. We're doing the best we can with a Zoom face-to-face, WebEx face-to-face. But we need to interact with each other as leaders. Learn from each other, get different experiences, examples. That is how we're going to change things. And that's the revolution that I think is required, is that companies, leadership teams, get involved in those four areas. That's a lot. I said a lot of words.
It is, but I'll just take a moment and talk about something that I'm dealing with. So as I've become the CEO of this organization that my dad started 63 years ago, when I wasn't even born yet, I now have to deal with people's lives that I didn't hire. Some I did since I've taken over, but the people that I didn't hire, because you have a new CEO comes in, all of a sudden he doesn't have personal relationships with these people. They're just employees, right? But I don't see employees as employees. They're all people. They all have families. They all have lives. Right. Am I like a bleeding heart here? No, I that's like balancing my heart and my business acumen is my hard part, because people's lives get in the way of business sometimes, but sometimes they have to, because they're human beings, right? So I don't know. I think that, I've been trying my best to balance my heart. The heart of a CEO is a very interesting heart, and balance the business part of it with the fact that you do have human beings and you have to consider their lives and their families that are, maybe somebody, we had one person whose father-in-law died of COVID what do you do? You know, you can't just say, get back to work, you know, sorry for your loss, get back to work. So, I mean, there's so many things right now, and there's a ripple effect right now in our world that are taking specialized skills that nobody ever taught CEOs. Any thoughts on that?
Yes, a lot of thoughts on that. And I know it's difficult, and it's even more difficult when you've just taken over a business and then have this pandemic hit. You know, CEOs are responsible for the financial well-being of a business, but they're also responsible for all of the people. You know, really, it really is both. We did a pandemic survey of how did leaders show up. And the challenge, the biggest challenge that we determined from that survey was to balance holding team members accountable for what the business really needs right now and caring for employees' well-being, which is equally, if not more important. Right. And so they're struggling, and we're pivoting our strategies often now with the changes happening as they come at us as leaders, trying to do the best we can. Okay, I'm going to take in this information now, and I'm going to say, all right, here's where we're going. And our job is to make sure every employee is connected to where we're headed, and they know their role in it. And, you know, they're going to give 100% when they can. And when someone loses a family member, they're going to be gone, but then somebody else is going to pick up for them. So it's really about getting to know your team right away. When you make a shift like that, you just jumped in, you've got a team of people, you know, get to know them, understand what they want out of their roles. What are they good at? I mean, that's where you come in fresh, and you're going to see some things that maybe your father couldn't see. So I think it's really important that you care.
Yeah.
And that you're worried about that a little bit.
Well, you know, I've had the strangest year of life in my life out of 60 years.
Yeah.
This year we had one of our employees had a daughter of 12 years old commit suicide. We had one whose father-in-law died of COVID. I mean, it just goes down from there, if you know what I'm saying. It's been an interesting year. It isn't just COVID that's wreaking havoc. This whole year is a great year for reflection on life, purpose.
Right.
What is your destiny? We'll take a little break. We're talking with Jennifer Macken. JenniferMacken.com, MacKin.com. Her book, Leaders Deserve Better, A Leadership Development Revolution. Stay with us. It's Entrepreneur Weekly. Are you paying too much for business insurance? Do you have critical gaps in your coverage? Entrepreneur Insurance can help you find out. In 6 out of 10 policies, business owners are paying too much for property, general liability, or workers' comp insurance. Entrepreneur Insurance can help you identify ways to save and any gaps in coverage. Head to entrepreneur.com/insurance to complete the questionnaire and get a personalized quote. It's an easy way to find out if you're paying too much. Again, that's entrepreneur.com/insurance.
Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, we're talking to Jennifer Macken. She is the author of Leaders Deserve Better, A Leadership Development Revolution. I'm a CEO of my family, of myself, because I'm a personality on television and radio. I'm the CEO of an organization that my father started 63 years ago. I'm the CEO of my company. I'm the CEO of a gym. I'm the CEO. It just keeps going and going. I'm an entrepreneur. So I'm the guy that should read your book. But I got you, Jennifer. So I need a copy of this book, by the way. JenniferMacken.com.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, we were talking about, you know, the stuff that guys like me and gals like people like me go through, CEOs, leaders. It's the gamut, everything. It runs the gamut. But do we get enough support? Do leaders need support? Because I feel like, you know, I want my wife all the time. Like, my wife's my partner. She's a CFO, and I want her to support me. But wait a minute, I'm the husband, and I'm the CEO. I'm supposed to support her. And so where do I get the support? I mean, maybe you could address
that. Right. Yeah, it's true of all CEOs. I mean, I think it's lonely you know, you hear that, lonely at the top, but it's very true of business entrepreneurs, owners, CEOs of all types of companies. And right now we're getting asked, our business, we're getting asked to do more coaching of senior leaders than ever before. And often they don't know to ask for help. They don't know it's possible to get help. But coaching, mentoring, getting groups of like CEOs together are all good ways to get some of that support. But sometimes it's just being able to talk through, man, that was a bad year. This is a bad week or a bad day.
Right.
Here's what happened. Here's what I did, you know, and somebody to go, gosh, that was tough. And you're doing the right things. Keep it up, you know, just kind of giving you some of that support. Sometimes you need that kind of support. And sometimes you really need technical, like, I don't know how to take my company to this next stage or to deal with this challenge. And that's where there are a lot of great coaches out there that can help CEOs, entrepreneurs, as long as they ask for it, which is hard.
Boy, and there's such a ripple effect for ill-prepared leaders. The ripple effect goes through the entire company, the families of the people that work at the company. It's this horrible ripple effect when there's a bad leader in a good company, because it happens.
Right. I mean, it is their first and foremost job to make sure the strategy happens through the people that report to them. Period.
Yeah.
Now, we always talk about bad leaders lead to turnover and they lead to lack of engagement, and that is true. But all of that is about readiness of leaders to create this execution power with their people to get to that strategy. That's what's in jeopardy right now.
You know, it's interesting because, I don't want to get political, but after watching the debate between the Vice President Biden and President Trump, I don't think that either one of them used good leadership skills in the way that they took at each other like a Mike Tyson heavyweight championship there. I just feel like there was a missed opportunity for both of these men to show their leadership skills. Now, would I have done any better? Maybe not. I may have done the same thing. I'm a bit of a loose cannon the way Trump is. But then again, you know, Biden told him to shut up. And it's like, so both of them, I think they got at each other. And it's like, come on, guys. This is the stuff that's been,
certainly don't need childish behavior.
Yeah, we got to be better than this.
Who wants to follow that?
You know?
And as a person, as a leader. So you're right. I mean, I think that if there's any way to have a debate where we could really learn, where does the leader see the company, the country, the cause, where do they see it going, and be able to communicate in a way that gets people fired up, right? Excited for what's next, what we can do, and really understand it in detail. And that's what we lost out on, that opportunity to know what both of them have in mind.
I agree. Well, there's another debate coming. I guess we'll give them another shot. Leaders deserve better.
Coaching.
Yeah, Leaders Deserve Better, the book, A Leadership Development Revolution. You can find it at jennifermackin.com. Jennifer, you've been a good guest today. Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks, Alan. I enjoyed it.
Tell you, we all need help. We all need help in our businesses, in our lives, and we try and do a little of that on this radio program every week. You know why? Because I've been thinking about you. So I'll leave it with that, because that's the name of this song. See you next week for Entrepreneur Weekly.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.